מיקוטי מוהר"ן, תורה ל"ז, פרק ו. We learned about the ritual slaughter, that if he's got the right intention, so he helps the soul, the spirit of the animal to go up, to rise back to Hashem. But if not, so he's damaging a lot. נפשי יצאה, the soul went out, כשיצאת בשביל להכניס בדברו של הברכה בבחינת מים נוקבין. הנה חמישה ברכי נפשי, those five aspects of ברכי נפשי, כנגד וכולי. So they compared, the rabbis, Rabbeinu compared, and the Gemara they compared, Masechet Brachot, the rabbis that are teaching the babies, the little children, to the ritual slaughterers. When the ritual slaughterer is not saying the bracha properly, so by that he's damaging. Eino bevchinat hevel she'en bochet, he's not in the aspect of the breath that doesn't have sin in it. Bevchinat avir ad eretz Yisrael, al yedei ze, by that, the air of eretz Yisrael, by that, ochle ami, ha-parnasa nitma'et. The parnasa is being diminished. I heard once a story on a person that asked the rabbi, what's the biggest gula for parnasa and wealth, ashirut? So he told him, birkat amazon. To say Birkat HaMazon. Mm-hmm. Don't need to
read it inside.
Just to read, to say the words of Birkat HaMazon. כי כשיש להשוחט בחינת הבל שאין בו חט, because when the ritual slaughterer have that breath that doesn't have sin, means that he is a real believer, בחינת חרב להשם, he's got a sword that it's all for Hashem, means that when he's using that sword, when he's praying to Hashem, when he's blessing to Hashem, so he's doing it to Hashem, means he's thinking about what he's doing. So he's in the aspect of Bechinat Tzedakah to Eretz Yisrael, in the aspect of charity to Eretz Yisrael. Like that we said a few years ago, when we started the Torah, that Rabbeinu compared explained the way that the person, when he's donating, when he's helping, when he's supporting Talmidei Chachamim that lives here in Eretz Yisrael, so it's like that he himself is inside of Eretz Yisrael. Because the damim, the money, is the soul, is the spirit. So if you send your spirit, your damim, your money to there, so you're there, because it's your spirit, and it stays your spirit. So you're there. B'chinat tzedakah de'eretz Yisrael. B'chinat nefesh, an aspect of the soul. B'chinat Torah kanal, an aspect of the Torah. Gam ha'nefesh she'olah mechai lehamedaber shelo, and also the spirit that rises from the animal, from the live animal, to the human being that has got the ability to talk. Gam ken nit'ala b'chinat ma'alot elo hanizkar. So also you bring that animal soul into that aspect, into that level. So you can lift the spirit of the soul of that animal to such a high place, to your understanding, to your level, your spiritual level. If today you achieve something big in your avodat Hashem, and now you eat a certain food that food contains a certain low spirit. It's a spirit that was inside of an animal. It's a spirit that was inside of a vegetable, fruit. So it's a low spirit, but by saying the bracha right, you lift it so many levels to the level that you hold today. It's a high level. Vezehu perush, and that's the explanation of what it's written. Hizaru bivnei am haaretz. Be careful to respect the sons, the children of an am haaretz, of a person that he is a bur. Kizei yadua, because it's a known thing. Shehanefashot hanichbadot. That the most respected spirits, but we have here
in brackets.
What?
In brackets.
Haneeshakot, that ones that been kidnapped, Betoch ha-tikla, inside of the tikla, ha-amur bazar, a place that is inside the husks of Noga, Beklipot Noga, like that it's written in the Zohar HaKadosh. It's a place that have a lot of confusions, a place that the souls of the Baal Teshuvah, soul of the person that is now have confusions, he's got doubts, but it's very honorable souls, very respected souls, spirits that have a lot of powers, but they have a lot of confusion. They're spiritually, they're stuck in a certain place that they're looking for the way out. They want to serve Hashem, but they don't know. You can talk to a person to ask him, why are you not keeping Shabbos? Why are you not keeping purity of the family? Why are you not eating kosher? He will tell you for Shalom Bayit. And this is his real answer. He really finds that the Shalom Bayit depends in the fact that he's taking all of his family to the sea in Shabbos. And this is it. And once he tried to talk to his wife about mikveh, and she was so angry and furious, what, I'm not clean, I'm filthy, you think I need to go? So this is it. For Shalom Bayit, you realize that it's better that you're not going to dip. And, okay, what can you say? So you see that the person wants to have Shalom Bayit, and for that he's violating all of the rules of the Torah. So it's a place of confusions. Adrabah, if they're going to keep the rules of the Torah, their Shalom Bayit is going to be real, not ceasefire, not just for a week, for a month, for tonight. They're going to have a life. They're going to find a way to live together. But if you're not keeping Shabbos, you don't have the source of the blessing. If you don't have purity of the house, there's nothing to talk about. You cannot have Shalom Bayit without purity of the family. If the wife, she's not pure, and the husband has been contaminated, he doesn't have a brain to learn Torah anymore. He cannot learn, he cannot develop. This is why Amei Aretz, they become to be the foolish, they're falling. You see them in the age of 60, like kids in kindergarten. This is it. Stupid and dumb and don't have no brain and angry on every nonsense. And only because they didn't keep the Shabbos and didn't keep the purity of the family. Tarat HaMishpacha. This is the only, and kashrut, v'nitam temba. Contaminated, Rabbanu said, contaminated means become to be dumb. Lost your mind, this is it. En adam over averad shenichasa boruach shtut. A person is not sinning until he's got a certain nonsense, this bad spirit inside of him. So another bad spirit, he becomes to be crazy. He'll lose his mind. This is a meshuga, crazy person. Angry and jealous and furious and makpid on everything. You cannot talk to him. It's his place, it's my house, and he is ready to kill his daughter because I don't know what. She touched his DVD, I don't know, remote control. Who moved the remote control? And this is it. I'm burning the house now over what? You're sneezing on my Shabbos table? What do you want? He doesn't have a brain. You cannot blame him. He doesn't have a brain. He's not thinking. He lost his mind. How he lost his mind? Another sin, another avon, another crime. Nothing to do. So you see people that are looking for holiness, looking for peace in the house, looking for having blessing, looking for sources of good, parnasah, and they want to be generous, and they want everything good, but they're choosing the opposite side. They're choosing darkness for that. Okay, they need money, so he goes to steal. He needs peace in the house, so the wife will not going to keep impurity of the family. So it's craziness. So, but Rabbeinu is mentioning to us that those souls are very, very respected, very honorable. Why? Because like we said it a lot of times, we learned it a lot of times, that thieves and robbers, they're not after clay and vegetables and I don't know, dirt. They're coming to steal gold and diamonds and pearls and important things, right? So the Yetzirah, when he's coming to steal the souls, so he is looking for the most important and strong and powerful souls that he wants to loot. He wants to take over a big thing. And think about it. If now Rabbeinu said once to his students, why are you going and talking all of the time with poor people, with small people? Why? Go and talk to the big people, to important people, to doctors, to lawyers. Go and talk to those souls. Why? Because those people that have huge, big souls, they can influence on a lot of other souls. Yes, I'm making it happen. Oh, Hashem. Mm-hmm. You see? You learn. You can learn. slowly, but you can learn. If I'm learning, for sure you can learn. I haven't finished high school. I don't have the 10 years of school I haven't completed. And I'm sitting here with you, think I'm a professor. I don't have to that bagut. I said to that bagut.
Diploma?
Regency test.
Nothing. The manager of the school screamed at me in the middle of a break and knew, and I don't know. I don't want to see you here anymore! Don't come back tomorrow! This is how I got rid of school. Oh, thank you, thank you. Jumped on my motorcycle, drive to the beach. I was so happy, Baruch Hashem. Made it a trip to Tveria, 3 days, Baruch Hashem. To be prisoner for another 3 years. I have the army in 3 years. Enough for prison. So now I need to prepare myself 3 years for need to have vessels for army. Also there I managed, Baruch Hashem. Also there I managed. I'll tell you a story from the army.
Yes.
I have a nice one. I was in a Air Force base close to the airport, Ulud. It's called Bahai 27. It's an Air Force base, number 27. And 27 is the numeral value Zach, pure. I was there. And once in a while, they would take all of the soldiers that are capable to guard on the airplanes. So you just stand over there, or in guarding towers, or to watch over the airplanes that are parking over there in the airport. Okay, so you have your bulletproof vest and your weapon, your M16 short. It's an Air Force, so you have the short one. You don't need to have the long one. You have gray uniform, so it's not, you're not. You have the short one, the mikutzar. Baruch Hashem, and this is it. So you have 3 days or something like that. That is changing the shifts. Means you guard for 4 hours at night, and then you have in the beginning of the night, and then another 4 hours in the morning, and then you have another 4 hours in the evening, and the rest you can sleep somewhere, but in the dorms of the guards, of the shomrim. Okay, so I had a shift. The first one was in the middle of the night, and I was very tired. Obviously, like every normal person, in the middle of the night he wants to sleep. And I was supposed to guard on a certain aeroplane that he didn't plan to move nowhere anyway. And so I talked to him. He said that he's staying. We settled it. He's not moving nowhere. So I took my bulletproof vest and I put it on the floor close to the aeroplane, and I just lie down for a few minutes to take a nap. And Baruch Hashem, after 3 hours, or 2.5, so the jeep of the officer, the katzin, that was supposed to check what's going on, so he came, and he woke me up, and he told me, come. I stood up, he brought me a cup of tea, told me, come, drink, and Bezrat Hashem, I'm filling the report, you have a trial tomorrow. So I told him, on what? She said, you were asleep during your shift. Told him, me? I was asleep. He said, yes, I came. You were lying on the floor? He said, yes, I was lying on the floor. He said, so what were you doing? I said, I assumed that I fainted or something like that. I told you I can be the best liar. I haven't lied in that. So he told me, come on, say to the officer. I told him, all right, Phil, but this is a... I remember myself walking in circles around the aeroplane, and the second thing that I remember is that you waking me up on the floor, and thank you for the tea. This is it. Baruch Hashem. So I came back, and then I had another shift up in the morning. So the alarm clock ringed, I assume. And I kept on sleeping. You know, it's not such an attraction to guard over an aeroplane. It's not like you can drive on it, fly it somewhere. You just need to sort of circle it. So I didn't like that. And so I kept on sleeping. And I woke up at 10 or something like that. And I came to the office of the Katzin over there. Is it Katzin? Officer. General.
No.
And he told me second shift.
Okay.
That you didn't show up, and soldiers knocked on your door and it didn't open. And so prepare yourself for a trial. Today come at one. So I told him, on what are you blaming me? What have I done? So he said, you were sleeping in the first shift and you didn't woke up for the second one. I told him, listen, I said to the officer that in the first one probably I fainted. And on the second one, I remember that the alarm clock was ringing. But when I woke up, I was on the floor. So probably I fainted twice. Probably. I don't know. So he told me, you don't know what you just done. So I told him what. He said, if you fainted twice, or if you just claim that you fainted twice, we cannot blame you on nothing, and we have to send you to a medicine check, a medical check. So the trials are off. You cannot blame you on nothing, and go to the clinic. So I went to the clinic, and I got from there 7 days vacation from the base. I went back home. I slept well, Baruch Hashem. Now after it, I had another 7 days vacation, Baruch Hashem. So, Baruch Hashem, this is how I spent few years of my life in the army. I had more tricks, Baruch Hashem. But Baruch Hashem, so story from the army. You see, IDF. Don't worry, we're guarding on you, watching over you. Don't worry. Baruch Hashem. No, really, I was very tired in that day. There was nothing to do. Every person has to be in the place that he belongs to. If they try to force you to be somewhere that you not belong to, you cannot. There are people that for them, the army is their life, really. They can be good soldiers, really. I cannot be a good soldier in the army. I'm not trained to that. I'm not built to that. It's not my place at all. Put me in yeshiva. I also cannot function so well. But so I need to find my own place. Every person is going to find his place. And this is something that you need to find inside of yourself. Because if you're gonna fake, if you're just gonna try to be something that you're not, you will never gonna reach who that you are. You will never gonna be able to give what that you have to give, to share what that you have to share. People will not gonna be able to enjoy from you. Your parents want you to be a doctor. Your parents want you to be a lawyer. So they're gonna tell you that you're the disappointment of the family. Thank you very much, but it's better because in the future you're going to be happy. Like we talked yesterday and the day before, with success you cannot argue. When they're going to look at you after 5 years, when I decided to do tshuva, my parents couldn't accept it. They could not accept it. They could not accept it at all. Mamash. But today they cannot ignore from the fact that the house is functioning, and Baruch Hashem, we have parnasah, kids are educated, polite. They see the my cousins, the secular family over there, filthy mouth, the things, crazy, wild world that they. So they can feel a certain sorrow that they cannot spend the holidays with you, that you're not coming with them to the family parties in Shabbos, I don't know what. So, okay, unfortunately, you cannot, but for them actually it's better. Like Rav Shalom explained once on Shalom Bayit. That the biggest thing that you can do to respect your parents is to have Shalom Bayit. And even if you're not going to talk to your parents to have Shalom Bayit, it's better for your parents that you're going to talk to them and that it's going to ruin your Shalom Bayit. You're going to talk to them less and you're going to have a house with a family, happy wife, functioning house, and kids learning, everything's okay, Baruch Hashem, and you're not in touch with them like that they want, it's better for them than to have a divorced son that is wandering around in the streets at night looking for himself and don't know what to do with his life and doesn't have peace in the house and wife is screaming and kids are falling from the way of holiness, of Kedusha. They were not going to be so happy for now, but it's a lot better for them. And in this generation, you cannot ask them for their advice. What do you think, Father? What do you think? Most of us needs to be the parents of our parents. You have more logic, you have more common sense than they. It doesn't mean that you're better than them, just they came from a different place and you came to certain conclusions, to certain developments in your life. You achieved a lot of things in your life and you cannot ignore it. And they cannot ignore it also, and if they do, so tough luck. It doesn't mean that you need to throw yourself because someone else claiming that this is respect your parents. There are so many basic things that we need to talk about. Respect your parents. If the parents are not keeping Shabbos, if they're violating the rules of the Torah, the only way of respecting them that you're obligated to is not to insult them. But to listen to them, it's only to let them feel that you're with them, that you're cooperating, not to insult them, not to hurt them. But if they are not respecting Hashem with their deeds, you're not obligated in Kibud Orim. You're not obligated to respect them, means to cover them, to support them, to help them, to listen to them, to obey. You're not. So, what you're going to do? It doesn't mean that you're allowed to disgrace them. It doesn't mean that you're allowed to insult them, that you're allowed to think bad thoughts about them. No! So if for that you need to stay far, so it's better. If for that you need to make less phone calls, so it's better. It's going to bring better results in the end. For that you need to believe in yourself. We receive so much Lashon Hara on ourselves, and it's from the education, from childhood. What are you doing? Why are you done that? What's happening with you? Are you crazy? Are you stupid? And you've been programmed to think like that. All of the time that someone tells you that you're wrong, you feel that he's right. Immediately, you're stupid. Oh, maybe I've done something wrong. Why? Maybe he's stupid that he's calling you stupid. Who? Why? Why? I remember once a certain person, predator, rebuked me, and he starts to scream at me, "You don't have Yirat Shamayim, a Haredi person, a religious person, you don't have Yirat Shamayim, you don't have faith in Hashem, you don't believe in Hashem, you're a sinner, you're a chote, you're a this, and when he told me that few times, "You don't have Yirat Shamayim, you don't have Yirat Shamayim," and I felt so bad with myself, I started to cry. I sat on a certain stone that was there, and I was crying and crying and crying and crying. And after a while, I'm thinking to myself, Rabbi David Chaim Stern testify on you that you have a real Yirat Shamayim, that you're Yirat Shamayim Amiti. So what do you care about that silly person that is screaming at you in the street, that doesn't have the problem to insult you and to rebuke you in front of people? The one that insults a person in front of people in public, he doesn't have a share to the world to come. It can be that person doesn't even have a share to the world to come, and you care about what he got to tell you? Who cares at all? Why you pay so much attention? Why you care? Why you listen so much to what did he got to tell you? If it's nonsense, if it's just to reject you from happiness, reject you, it's just to test you if you believe in yourself or not, he can rebuke, he can say. You need to say to yourself, Hashem amar lo kalel. Hashem told him to rebuke. Now I need to understand the message. What Hashem wanted to say? Is it the truth? No, it's not the truth. I am Yirat Shamayim. Well, if I'm not Yirat Shamayim, so what am I? Why am I wasting my life like that if I'm not Yirat Shamayim? I am Yirat Shamayim. I want to serve Hashem. Why I live here? Why I'm learning Torah? Why I'm coming to teach Torah? Why I'm trying to convince you all guys all day long to learn Torah? Well, because I'm not Yirat Shamayim, so it's nonsense. So why I'm listening to it? You need to believe in yourself. You need to reunite with yourself, to come back to yourself, to be together with yourself. Ve'avta l'racha kamocha. You can love your friends only as much as you love yourself. That you have understanding, that you have peace in your bones, shalom ba'atzamav. That you have peace inside of yourself. That you agree with yourself on what that you're doing. That you understand yourself, that you accept yourself with all of your lackings, with all of your issues that you still have to take care of. Okay, this is my body, this is my exile, this is my tikkun, this is my mission. I'll work, but I'll cooperate with myself. I'm going to understand myself. I'm going to be able to talk, to say who that I am. I'm not going to deny myself. I'm not going to erase my being, my soul, who that I am. This is something that I believe and see, that a person can purchase only in his bodhidu. Only when he's talking to Hashem he can find himself at all, because Nafshi yatzah bedaberot, the soul, the spirit reveals itself only when you express yourself, only when you bring it out. Before, when it's all inside, you're not aware and you just think and you're afraid and you have certain patterns that react immediately, automatically. And you don't see who you are at all. You just feel that you don't want, that you're afraid, that you... But you don't know. Maybe this is the thing that you want the most. Maybe this is something that you're just afraid to try. Maybe this is your future. Maybe this is the thing that you were dreaming about when you were young, when you were a kid. I had such wild dreams when I was a kid. I remember myself, I was dreaming awake. I assumed when I was a child that I have an amazing potential. I saw myself doing whatever, all of the heroes from the television were doing. I believed that I have those powers. I remember myself, I was watching what's the name? Ribon Shalom. If I don't remember that, so really I made Shuba. Wow. Star Wars. If I don't remember the name Star Wars, I achieved something. And I remembered that I saw them using the force, using their own spiritual powers, and they were moving things in the air. He was thinking about something. You were like me again.
No,
Obi-Wan. Yeah, I know. We know him. We know him already. But I remember myself sitting and concentrating, thinking about moving things with my thoughts as a kid. I was sitting and concentrating, and I knew that I'm able to. I realized that I'm not focusing strong enough and that I need to work on myself more, but it was obvious for me that it's optional, that it can be. And today I'm telling you that for sure it can be. The tzaddikim are doing it. Tzaddikim, righteous people, are able to do things. They're moving nature, they're changing nature. What's the problem? For tzaddik, he just wanted to happen, then it's happened. This is it. This is what happens. So this is something that I had it, and I erased it. I was fighting, nah, it's nonsense. Why? Because people didn't believe in me, so I didn't believe in myself also, because I believed them. It's all nonsense. We need to believe in ourselves. And for that, we need to reveal who that we are. Indeed, but to pray on that, Hashem, show me who I am. Let me become to be my potential, to be who that I am. Thank you. Chazak uvarach.